We're going live on a Friday morning edition of Locked On 49ers, talking about the end of the offseason program, the state of the franchise, some notes from that event this week, and anything you guys want to get into, Locked On 49ers mailbag in the live chat on YouTube as well. Coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you as usual at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. If you're new to the program, I'm Brian Peacock, NFL analyst, also the host of the Peacock and Williamson NFL show here on the Locked On Podcast Network, former AFL and NFL defensive back Eric Crocker with me every day here. And yes, even during the off season, although we did take a day off this week, we had four shows instead of five because it was my son's fourth birthday, and it's hard to believe he's 4 years old, but shout out to little Leo, who is not watching right now. But yeah, the bottom line is they grow up too damn fast, right?
They grow up fast, man. I got two boys in high school going into their sophomore year of high school, man, and it's tough. It's crazy.
Trey Lance was born in the year 2000, and he's about to be the 49ers starting quarterback going into the second year. Did you see any of the comments on the state of the franchise event? People are throwing some praise at Trey Lance, and it's not just, and look, and it's hard to take it all. You got to take it all with a grain of salt, you know, because there's so many weird reports in the offseason, people unhappy about how his arm fitness and all, you know, all the weird stories there. Then you get in a training camp and you hear his receivers talk about how great he's going to be and how amazing he is. And Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk lighting up about the young quarterback. So I'm excited about Trey Lance. And I just like hearing, it's funny because once they get on the field and start practicing, Jimmy's not there. And the narrative around Trey Lance just completely flips. It's so weird. And none of it really matters, because what matters is once he's on the field and what we actually see. And that's how you and I usually do this thing, Croc, because we watch the players and we make our opinions based on what we see. But we also have to report on what's going on around the team. And it's amazing how quickly the Trey Lance narrative has flipped, especially, you know, locally, because people are all worried about it. But nationally, there's still a little bit of I think there's just apprehension nationally because nobody's seen him play, so nobody knows what to expect. And I think that's where a lot of the stuff comes from, because it's really easy to take a sentence from a report that somebody says, oh, nobody likes Trey Lance, and then they're like, oh, he must be terrible, but because they don't know what to think, you know. So like one report can just sway it so much, and then there's great reports about Trey Lance in the offseason program, and then it sways it back the other way because they don't know what to think, because nobody's seen Trey Lance. He's like this big mystery right now with the 49ers.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are trying to piece things together and I guess make their own assumptions based on whatever they feel. Last year, you know, they felt like there was an opportunity for a guy like Trey Lance to start for the 49ers. It didn't happen even when Jimmy was banged up. So, you know, Trey Lance, he must suck. And he must not be very good if he couldn't beat out an injured Jimmy Garoppolo. And that talk has kind of amplified throughout this offseason with anonymous reports on where they felt like the young quarterback was. And yeah, it is good to hear some of these positive vibes coming out. It feels like he made a lot of the strides that the 49ers would like to see him make, and he just has to continue that momentum into training camp.
Jacob said, he says, Leo's four, crazy how time flies. Yeah, it does fly, and it's crazy how many years the Warriors been winning championships, Croc. Congrats to the Warriors. Let's get back to football, though, right? I think Croc wants to turn that page really quickly on the Warriors championship.
Well, I like the Warriors. I just like trolling their fans. Like, their fans got kind of a little obnoxious, and they really, like, overreacted one way or another. Like, if the Warriors were down, it's like, oh, we suck, and the refs suck, and everybody sucks. And then when the Warriors are winning, it's like, oh, yeah, we're the best ever. And if you say anything, I don't even want to say critical, but I guess just, hey, man, I think Steph Curry is flopping a little bit. It's like, oh, you're just a hater because you're a Laker fan. It's like, dude, I really don't care. But no, it was cool to see them win. That's what's up. Steph Curry, amazing, amazing player. And I think this win helps him a ton to kind of get that heat off his back with the, you know, the Kevin Durant talks and, you know, all those things. Finally getting his finals MVP. I think that was awesome for him.
Oh, it was great for him. And see him carry a team and, you know, they won one before KD, won one after KD, you start stacking his championships up with LeBron and some of those. So it was a huge one for legacy, I think, for Steph Curry, even though everyone locally knows how, you know, great Steph Curry
is. Where is Steph Curry's legacy as it stacks up to just Bay Area legends? Where do you have him at? Someone said that he's like the greatest Bay Area athlete ever. And I have to push back on that. I do think he's amazing, but man, I mean, I, at the top of my list, and I'd love to know yours, but Barry Bonds is at the top. What I saw from Barry Bonds, it's tough because he doesn't have the championships. I know the whole steroid things, but he was so – I have never in my life seen a more dominated or dominant athlete. Like, anytime he stepped up to the plate, everyone was scared. Everyone was on – I mean, it was amazing to see that. And I watched a lot of his career with the Giants. Obviously, I was young for parts of it, but it was so amazing even for – 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old Eric Crocker to truly understand what he was saying.
Bonds is almost in this different category where he was the most dominant, and it was insane how good he was, but there's so many asterisks. There's no title for the Giants during his time there. There's the steroid stuff that it's almost like it's a separate category because you're right. It's crazy what he was doing. The teams were walking him with the bases loaded. You know, yeah. Like it just nothing. You put his numbers out there and there's just nothing like it. It doesn't make any sense on any level, but they never won. Right. So how impactful could it have been singularly if him being that great didn't even put you in the championship category? So I think that's where Steph has, you know, some claim to that there.
I think it's harder for an amazing baseball player because they got to the.
For sure.
They got to the World Series. But I think it's just so much harder because you're dependent more on pitching and all these other things as opposed to you just being able to take over and dominate a game. Because he did that.
Yeah, and what's funny is as soon as he left, then they won three championships.
Well, they had Bumgarner and they had
Lynchicum
and all these other guys.
We don't have time to go through this on today's show, and this isn't a San Francisco Giants podcast, but I have Brian Sabian, the old GM for the San Francisco Giants, has like the ultimate scoreboard. It's like, look, we won three rings. And I was pulling my hair out at the end of the Bonds era. It's like, this team has, the roster has been built on this team so horribly. And the reason the Giants won titles is because in my opinion, Sabes did such a bad job as GM around Barry Bonds that he turned that roster into such garbage that while they were trying to win, they were still among the 10 worst teams in baseball, 5 worst teams in baseball a couple of times, and ended up drafting Bumgarner and Lincecum and Posey. And the only reason that they won the titles is because they were managed so poorly in the Bonds era.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but then they ended up winning. And so Sabian's like, hey, look, I won all these rings. It's like, yeah, but the team was so bad around you that you accidentally had an opportunity to draft these great players and you hit on the players. And so, yeah, you still get credit for it. But I was pretty upset the way the team was managed in the Bonds era because they should have been better. You had that cheat code in your lineup every single day and they couldn't win one.
Right.
Let's talk more 49ers though. And I think there's some good storylines here out of the state of the franchise. A couple of notes. One on the draft, did somebody come up and sneak a player in front of the San Francisco 49ers? And I want to talk a little bit about Jennings and Ayuk, and you sent me a photo of Deebo Samuel. I want to talk about the wide receiver, just straight up body types that the 49ers have right now in 2022. Are they getting bigger at wide receiver with the same guys? So we'll get into that stuff coming up in just a second, but I want to talk first about our friends at BlueNile.com. At Blue Nile, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from celebrating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether you're ready to pop the question, celebrating a milestone moment, find some jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of shopping online at BlueNile.com. And that's one of the keys because they will help you find exactly what you're looking for at Blue Nile at any budget. If you're looking for fine jewelry, for me, I have no idea what I'm doing when I'm looking for that, but you have a budget and you know you want to buy something special for somebody, your mom, sister, take your relationship to that next level, right? Even if it's not engagement or, of course, engagement ring, which is pretty important. Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7 available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On 49ers listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On. That is code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen. I want to remind you about the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, which is going on right now. Over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. If you watch the Ultimate NFL Mock Draft, which I was a big part of, so was Croc, then you know how much fun it is. So if you're an NBA fan, you should be excited about that Warriors title and then start looking ahead to next year because we're already getting into draft season for the NBA. The NBA Ultimate Mock Draft. Follow along now so you don't miss a pick. Okay, Croc. By the way, there's a couple more. Riley says that it looks like I'm recording from a potato. It's a very expensive potato, if that's the case. Do I look bad right now, Croc? I have been struggling with my new office and some lighting, and had some reverb issues. Got my sound panels up now. It's getting better. It's not. I will admit, my studio is not quite where it needs to be yet. I've got a brand new home, a brand new studio out here. But do I look that bad right now, Croc?
It's a little blurrier right okay. now than what I'm used to seeing, which typically you're really clear.
I wonder if it's a so, maybe we get some internet.
Yeah, there's a little something going on.
Because you froze a little bit earlier. Maybe it's an internet.
No, StreamYard issue.
Maybe there's an internet brownout going on in America right now. Let us know in the chat if there's an internet brownout. Jacob says, Peacock, how long did it take you to find your broadcasting voice? Sounds old school. Did you model it after anyone? No, this is all natural. Just like how Croc is all naturally athletic and ripped. My talent was my voice somehow. I do not know why this is the way I sound, but this is the way I sound. And a lot of help from the RE20 microphone I got here, which is a staple in the broadcast industry. Love this microphone. Had it for a while. I actually bought it to record music. It's really good recording guitar cabinets and kick drums and things like that. But it's also industry standard broadcasting mic as well. So it's versatile. And it's built like a damn tank. I could murder somebody with this microphone if I took it off and hit them with it.
Yeah, getting the Wi-Fi stuff and all that set up. I saw someone like, hey, man, you guys are professionals. What's up with the internet right now? And just technology, stuff like that. Like you just have some hiccups every once in a while. And when you were recording Locked On solo, and not just solo, but even when we were recording and there wasn't YouTube yet, we can have these issues and nobody would know because at least the audio was still good.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, so pre-video days, anything could happen and you could just stop and splice stuff together and do some editing and, you know, let's record an hour when whatever this hurricane ends or, you know, there's an amazing amount of things that can go wrong. And in some ways, technology is awesome. And in some ways, it's really frustrating because you're at its mercy at times as well. And it's funny, what I really loved about the technological side of things and the way podcasting goes, when the pandemic started, I obviously didn't love that. But it was really funny seeing professionals struggle. Like I'm talking, you know, big network stars like Ryan Seacrest had to work from home. He had no makeup team. He had a garbage setup. And I was like, dude, I look and sound better than Ryan Seacrest right now on my Locked On 49ers podcast because I was prepared to work from home because I was already doing it. And I could already produce my shows, right? And I already knew audio. Ryan Seacrest doesn't know what the hell's going on if he doesn't have this massive team and all this money and this studios behind him, right? I mean, obviously, he's a professional. No disrespect to Seacrest. Who I think got his start in the Bay Area, actually, in the media industry. But it was just funny to see them brought down to a level. It's like, dude, we sound better than you guys right now. And so that's the struggle. The struggle is real when you're trying to produce these things. And someone got mad at me for misspelling one. I think it was Navarro Bowman.
Navarro Bowman.
I put an A instead of an O in there, or an O instead of an A in one of those spots. If you could see what I'm going through behind the scenes in a live draft and producing the show and trying to type in the names and then trying to make my own picks. I'm going through a lot over here behind the scenes. And I know you only looking in this direction, but if you could see behind what's happening over here in the opposite direction, things get a little hairy sometimes when you're producing a live show. By the way, in the comments, tell Croc how awesome Team Peacock is in the all-time 49ers draft, if you guys have been following along. We already recorded episode 3, by the way. It's coming up next Wednesday, and that's going to be a good one. But I'm pretty much dominant.
It's hard to not engage with the fans because I'm seeing some of the things, and they're like, you know, Peacock, you need to draft John Taylor. You know, obviously we know where John Taylor went because we already pre-recorded
episode. Yeah. So we're a little bit ahead. So spoiler: John Taylor does go in the next episode, but I think people probably realized he was about due to get drafted after the 10 rounds were up. But man, yeah, the all-time draft's a lot of fun. That is really cool.
Someone said, "Croc, you took how you take Fred Warner over Navarro Bowman?" Now, like, man, when those live bullets start kind of flying a little bit, it's tough to. And sometimes if you have like, okay, I know I'm going to draft this guy, and then he gets taken, and then oh, next thing you know, somebody else that you really like gets taken. You start to kind of scramble a little bit. Then next thing you know, Fred Warner. And it's like, damn, I forgot all about Navarro Bowman.
And yeah, it's fun because some legacies are cemented and some aren't cemented. So you're drafting these players at their peak. Is Fred Warner's peak going to be better than Navarro Bowman's peak? You know,
Navarro got screwed out of a defensive MVP. 2013 season. And when he ended up going into playoffs, tearing his knee up. Mm. That version of Navarro Bowman was better than what I've seen from Fred Warner so far.
It was insane how high of a level both of Team Peacock's linebackers were playing at in the NFL, which is why I drafted both of them. But no, Croc's putting together a good team as well. Speaking of the draft, did you catch this from the State of the Franchise with John Lynch talking about how they might have got sniped during the NFL draft? That maybe a team traded up and drafted a player in front of them that they had their eyes on? Did you see that one, Croc? Because I went through and I tried.
No.
I tried to figure out where that could have happened. And I don't know if it happened late, but if it happened in one of their first three picks on day two, it seems like it probably had to happen with that 61 pick. Because as soon as I heard that, I thought, oh, it had to be round three. And they scrambled and went with the running back because that was the pick that was weird and didn't make any sense, you know. And it might have actually been when the 49ers, or actually let's go back a little bit, when round two, around pick 60 or so, the Cincinnati Bengals moved up one pick in front of the 49ers at pick 60 and drafted Cam Taylor Britt, the defensive back. Now the 49ers ended up drafting two corners later on. Do you think that's the guy? Do you think Cam Taylor Britt would have been a future 49er if he got past the Cincinnati Bengals, who moved up one spot ahead of him at pick 60 and drafted the and I didn't actually watch a lot of Cam Taylor Britt before the draft either, which is really interesting. Did you do a deep dive on him?
I watched a little bit. For whatever reason, I just didn't have a whole lot of his film in my Google Drive, but I didn't see anything that was like, oh, you got to take this guy at 61. I didn't quite see that. And then when you factor in positional value, if on my board, at least, I would have Drake Jackson over Cam Taylor Britt.
The only other one that it could have been is maybe in round three.
Where did the center go? The center, Juergens.
Juergens went pretty high. He went like 50s. So, and maybe it was something that wasn't, you know, that, you know, we like this guy and he went way ahead. It could have been that. Yeah, because and that was a trade as well, right? Hold on, let me find out.
If that was a trade, that could be it.
Juergens went where are we at? Round three. No.
Because I mean, we talked about the center position and you know, maybe they wanted to address it, but you know, I've always been really big on you don't draft players just to draft players. Like just because we need a center, oh, we have to take that at 61. But if there was a player that they did like, and it's like, okay, we know we want this guy. Let's see if he starts to fall a little bit. Oh, he's there. Okay, we're going to take him. Then all of a sudden someone else trades up, and then they just kind of threw off their whole plan at the center position.
Oh, that's right. No, it was the Eagles that drafted Cam Juergens. It was not a trade up.
Okay.
That was at 51. So there's a couple by the Colts. So the Colts traded up and drafted Alec Pierce at number 53.
I love Dallas Pierce.
So would that have been it? The Chiefs traded up for Sky Moore, but they were already ahead of the Niners. They went up from like 57 to 54 or something like that. So that couldn't have been it. Yeah, and then Cam Taylor-Britt, of the ones that, that happened on draft day on the clock in the second round, that would have been it. But then remember, didn't John Lynch say after the draft that they were trying to trade up for Drake Jackson, that they were calling teams? So that's kind of weird. Or maybe they were calling teams, you know, maybe that was their two guys, and they ended up getting one of the two. Who knows? The other one would have been in round three. I've talked about how Dylan Parham was the one that that made so much sense for the 49ers. He went a few selections ahead of 93. He went number 90 to the Raiders, and there was a trade there, but they had actually traded down. That was part of the Malik Willis. So the Titans were at 90, traded up to 86 for Willis, and the Raiders went down to 90. So that wouldn't have been it, because they didn't leapfrog the 49ers. But what about the other Colts pick at 96? I wonder if the 49ers were maybe eyeing Nick Cross, the safety out of Maryland, because the Colts came back into the third round, spending a future pick to get into the third round to draft Nick Cross at 96. Maybe the 49ers had an eye on him when they drafted Danny Gray, you know, nine picks later to end round three. Those have really been the only ones. But the one that really feels like a leapfrog was the one right in front of pick 61, which is Cam Taylor-Britt.
But then, I mean, again, just on positional value and guys that are going to be there, if you wanted Nick Cross, then you take him with the tight of his price pick and then see if the running back falls to you, because he's way more likely to fall to you. Not saying it 100% would have happened, but at the very least, at least you find somebody that has a similar skill set as him. Like, right. Let's say, because Robinson, the running back out of Alabama, went shortly after Tydavis Price. Who's to say they would not have taken Tydavis Price, and then at least you have Robinson? Or maybe they still take Robinson, and you still get a chance at Tydavis Price. Like, if you want the safety, I think it's a little bit harder to get that playmaking safety that, like Cross, like tested out of this world. It's harder to get him or count on him to fall as opposed to a running back.
I totally agree there. I totally agree. There's nothing about the running back pick that made a lot of sense to me. So so it seems like Cam Taylor-Britt, that might have been their guy. They ended up drafting two more corners. So interesting one there. How about wide receiver body types? Let's talk a little bit about that. Niners wide receivers going to be a little more swole than they have been, I think, going into the 2022 season. Let's talk first about Built Bars. You know how our friends at Built always come out with these amazing new flavors? I don't know how they make them taste so well and keep the sugar down and keep the calories down. This time, Built has truly outdone themselves with their new Mud Pie flavor. And for the first time ever, Built is introducing the new Mud Pie flavor in both the traditional Built Bar Mud Pie flavor and Mud Pie Puffs. So if you like the puffs, you can get that Mud Pie. If you like the traditional bars more, you can still get the Mud Pie flavor. Not sure what Mud Pie tastes like. How about this? If you're a fan of chocolate, you're going to like it. You better sit down for this one. The new Mud Pie bar is rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse, smothered in 100% real chocolate and topped with cookies and cream crumble. And only 150 calories in the Mud Pie bar, only 8 grams of sugar and 16 grams of protein. That's what you get. A protein bar that tastes like a candy bar at Built Bar. Tons of great flavors, new ones, classic flavors, and you can get 15% off with our promo code. Just go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. High protein, low calorie, low sugar. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Brandon Ayuk is built so different because he's still slim, but he's got those broad shoulders, and seeing him in plain clothes at the State of the Franchise, just in that polo shirt, he looks like he's just insanely ripped, but he's not when you see him stand up because he's still so slender and he's got these long arms and long legs, you know, but just his broad shoulders, he's sitting, and they're both sitting down, sitting next to Juwan Jennings. And when you see just like chest up, you're like, man, is Ayuk bigger than Jennings? Because his shoulders
were drastically wider and more defined than Juwan Jennings, who's a much bigger receiver.
Yeah.
That was very clear to me. I mean, that was the thing that stood out to me. And I don't know what made me look at their shoulders, but I think I looked at Juwan Jennings' shoulders first. I'm like, is it me or do his shoulders look kind of small? And I'm looking at Ayuk and I'm like, hey, his shoulders look a little different. Not saying that's going to make one guy a better football player than the other, but it's definitely something that's just a little notable.
Yep. And I think Ayuk is looking bigger. I think he looked bigger last year than the year before. So he's just going to grow into his body, and he's got that broad frame to kind of add some more strength. So hopefully he keeps athleticism, burst, speed, and all that, gets bigger and stronger, only going to make him a better football player. Juwan Jennings, we already know, is big. Once he stands up, you see how big he is, 6'3". I think he's more like 220, even though he's only 212 at the combine. And then you sent me a photo of Deebo Samuel. I don't know where this photo was taken, but he was looking less swole as in he's been hitting the weights, and more like, now I see why they just had him running when he showed up to minicamp, because he didn't look like he's in camp shape, at least, but he's always going to be just a thick guy.
Yeah. So he's thinking, I text one of my buddies that played a long time in the NFL, and I'm like, hey, bro, is this normal? Cause I was around a few players where, you know, they'd show up and they were out of shape in OTAs. And the next, you know, training camp, they got an eight pack. So I'm like, okay, I know that kind of situation where I saw that. But with Deebo Samuel, I'm looking at this picture. I was just looking at a picture. It's a trainer. And I followed the trainer. And next thing you know, I'm looking at, whose uncle is that in the background? Well, that's not somebody's uncle. That's Deebo Samuel. I was like, wow, he is extra round. I had to send that to you as well. But the NFL buddy that I text said, you know, everybody's different. Some guys take off a lot of time after the season, depending on if they had any surgeries, things that are beat up on their bodies. Deebo Samuel, definitely someone who's beat up, that's like, hey, I want less usage in this running back role that you guys have. And it might be because, like, look how much time I had to take off, and now I have to scramble to get my body back in shape in 4 to 5 weeks, which for these younger guys, which he's still young, what is he, 26 years old, he's still very young. Their bodies just react much better than mine does at 35 years old. So I don't think that it'll be too much of an issue. He just has to grind it out for the next 5 weeks, and I bet training camp he'll be fine. But he's round, though. If I had to guess right now, I'd say 5'11", 230 pounds.
Woo! That's Ty Davis Price territory.
Yeah.
He did look pretty big. And, you know, sometimes photos can lie, too. Do you remember, was it Eddie Lacy a few years ago? There was like one, because he was thick, but there was one angle that was like, this guy looks like an offensive lineman. But then you saw there was like more photos from the next day or even the same day. It's just a different angle. So that's part of it as well. But yeah, you're right, man. You used to be able to bounce back so quick when I was in my 20s. Well, first of all, I didn't gain weight, but if I did, you could drop it instantly, right? And that doesn't quite happen anymore.
Deebo, he'll drop it. If I had to guess, by training camp, he'll be around 218, and that'd be a legit playing weight for him.
Bryant says, favorite way to start the morning, Locked On 49ers, best duo covering the 49ers, easygoing voice of BD and EC's knowledge of the game, mahalo. Mahalo to you, Bryant. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything on your to-do list, Croc? Because now the 49ers are going to go dark, and they're shutting down the, you know, off-season portion of everything, and everyone's going to come back late July for training camp, and a lot of guys are going to be doing work, and hopefully guys are getting in better shape and don't sit back and get in worse shape. Right. But everyone's going to come back to training camp. Is there something you're looking at with this team? And you're like, well, I think maybe John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan need to get together and do something else. Or maybe the coaching staff, or maybe the trainers. Is there like one thing where you're looking at this team, you're thinking, man, they need to do blank before training camp starts because there's still some incompleteness?
Well, first, when you said on my to-do list, the first thing that popped in my head is go get my laptop fixed so I can record and use my mic and everything. Gosh, what the heck is going on with this dang MacBook? But as far as the 49ers go, you know, I think just Trey Lance. Again, I think the success of this team rides on the shoulders of Trey Lance and the strides that he makes. And we already heard the reports of him staying a week after everyone else to get extra work in, whether that means throwing the ball, whether that means preparing mentally. I do believe that the more he prepares mentally and the more he's being able to kind of take on and the way that it, you know, progresses out in his mind, the better he will be throwing the ball and things like that. So I think for me, it's just get Trey Lance ready. And that was part of it. Talked about it last year. Oh, Trey Lance needs to play because the sooner he gets to where you need him to be, the better your team is for that. Now they have to take this offseason time right here to get that going. And hopefully Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, all those guys is all hands on deck to get him as prepared as possible.
Kyle did say that Jimmy will be practicing if he shows up to camp. Should Jimmy be gone? Is that number one on the to-do list to make sure Trey Lance is ready, is to not have Jimmy G there?
I think that would be the best case scenario for Trey Lance to not have Jimmy Garoppolo there. And he's taking on that role. Like, he is the leader. You hear the guys talk about it. I think it's without a doubt. And I'm curious to see, let's say hypothetically speaking, Jimmy Garoppolo does show up for training camp. How does that mess up the dynamic of what they have going on right now? Because it feels like the players have moved on. And then, all right, if Jimmy does show up, now all that just kind of starts to kind of taper back and guys aren't going to know who to follow.
Did you notice a difference as Allen did in Trey Lance's throwing motion with his work in the offseason coming back from 3D QB? I thought it looked pretty tight. It looked good. It's hard to know until the live bullets really start flying. I think we'll really know in the preseason games when everything else goes away. He's got a live rush against him. He's got to get things out quickly. You'll see the timing. You'll see the delivery. I think that's when we'll really be able to tell. But you can tell he's absolutely been working.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with the statement of him, you know, looking better, and because of, you know, the live bull is not flying, right? Like, no real pass rush and things like that. We'll see. But I do know one thing. At the end of the day, I saw a playmaker in Trey Lance last year, a guy who is able to make plays off script. So just, can you get a little bit better with, you know, the pre-snap, post-snap things, knowing what Kyle Shanahan wants, being able to get the ball at your hands? I think the more he knows, the better you'll see with the feet and everything else. The more, I mean, it's like anything else in life, right? The more certain you are, you do it very well. You're very precise with it. The more questions you have while you're trying to do something, it just looks a little choppy. I think that could be something with some of his mechanics last season.
All right, a couple more here to end the week on Locked On 49ers. Cook Smoke Sports says DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year for Nick Bosa. Book it. I assume he means Nick Bosa and not his brother Joey Bosa.
I'm assuming he means Nick Bosa, and I can see it. Tremendous player. What are his BetOnline odds? I think that's what we need to start looking at.
Yeah, you know what? You could probably get some odds on that at BetOnline, and I'm with it. Lock it up. Nick Bosa, Defensive Player of the Year.
If the 49ers are good, that definitely helps.
Last one here. On the Jimmy G subject, how far should the 49ers go out of their way to not let Jimmy end up in Seattle? And I know some fans, the first reaction of the anti-Jimmy crowd would be like, we want him to go to Seattle because we think he's a garbage quarterback and it's going to make Seattle worse. The 49ers definitely don't feel that way. And I think that's a big part of this. The 49ers would probably, and I don't think any team's at this point going to be willing to take on Jimmy's full salary. So it would have to be a pretty creative trade if there was any trade at all to be made. But if there is one to be made, I think the 49ers would like to have enough control over where Jimmy Garoppolo goes, not to decide which team he goes to, but decide which team he doesn't go to, and that would be Seattle. So if they can work something out with, say, Cleveland, who's, I don't know what's going on with their quarterback situation, or Carolina, I think the 49ers would love to facilitate something like that for Jimmy G just to make sure he doesn't go to Seattle.
I would say that the Seattle Seahawks will be better with Jimmy Garoppolo as opposed to Drew Lock or Geno Smith.
It sounds like Geno Smith is winning the job over Drew Lock. I think it's going to be Geno Smith as the starting quarterback over there. Because I'm not confident Drew Lock's going to win that, and Geno Smith has a little bit of a head start. And actually, if you look at Geno's numbers, they weren't terrible in a three-game stretch last year. And DK Metcalf's numbers with Geno Smith weren't that bad. Looked very similar to what he looked like with Russell Wilson. So, yeah. But again, either Geno Smith or Drew Lock, Jimmy's a better quarterback. I don't care what you think about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. I agree. And I think most people that are logically thinking would agree with you on that.
Absolutely. And we got logical listeners. I want to thank everybody who jumped into the live chat with us on this Friday morning episode. And shout out to all you who waited an extra day for this podcast to drop. And Croc and I will be back next week. We'll keep doing it all throughout the offseason. We got part 3 of the all-time 49ers draft coming up next week as well. We're going to go live a couple times a week probably because it's a lot of fun here, especially in the offseason, to get into some hypotheticals and see what kind of questions you guys have and what pops up in the Locked On 49ers mailbag. Thanks for making us your first listen. For your second listen, check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft Daily right here on the network. Croc and I back with you next week right here, Locked On 49ers.